ever asked, is it wrong for churches to have altar calls? Some respectable Bible-believing brethren continue the practice of having altar calls, or what is called invitations to the front of the church meeting. And we do not want to appear as though we're denouncing them, that we're not attacking anyone personally. We're not calling for any sort of separation or division. We simply want to give a biblical answer to this question that some people are very touchy about, even though they're wrong. So you can probably tell with what direction this thing is going with that introduction. But let's start by explaining, for the benefit of those who are not in churches or don't have or haven't attended any of these meetings where these things happen. Believe it or not, when I married my wife, she had attended a church that never had had these things, and she'd never seen this sort of thing. She'd heard about it. An altar call is basically when the preacher calls on people to come to the front of the church. It's usually a call to be saved or rededicate or to deal with sin, anything like that. And to be honest, an invitation is fine. But there is no altar in the New Testament church. Listen, we are Bible believers. We believe the King James Bible. And we go by this book, King James Bible. And there's a lot of guys out there who claim to be King James Bible only, but they'll change this book anytime they need to. And that's the fact. And I get in trouble with a lot of the folks because I don't go along with the accepted manner of doing things just because of tradition. Some of you Baptists are worse than the Catholics when it comes to your tradition. And so I'm in the middle of the thing, I guess, when it comes to this thing with altar calls. There is no altar in the New Testament. As I open this up, not condemning everybody that does this, but there's just a number of facts that we get from the Scripture. There is no altar in a New Testament church because the church is not a building. The church is the people. The words altar or altars, it's spelled A-L-T-A-R, not E-R. And a lot of people use the term and they spell it wrong and cause even more confusion. But you'll find those words, altar and altars, used 364 times in the Bible, King James Bible. They're in 364 verses. It might be used more than once in one of those verses, but that's a simple word check using Sword Searcher 8.1. And not once... If you look, and I did, I've looked at every single one of these verses. I've actually done this before even taking on this question in our Q&A. And not once is there a reference to there being an altar used in Christian churches or used in church gatherings, used in evangelism. Not once is there a call for Christians or a evangelistic call for the lost, the sinner who needs saved. Never once was there a call to come forward to the front of the gathering and especially to pray at some physical altar. Not in this dispensation. And again, a lot of my dispensational friends, I like to call them fair weather dispensationalists. They're dispensational as long as it don't contradict them and their traditions. And this is an area where you find the fair weather dispensationalists. There are altars before the death of Christ for animal sacrifice. And there are altars for animal sacrifice during the tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, and during the millennium after Christ's return. But there are no physical altars in the church age. And the sad thing is the altar calls can produce bad religion. But that in quotes, bad religion. the main problem with the altar call is that it gives the idea that the church building everybody's meeting in is some sort of sanctuary or temple. And a lot of you attend churches and you'll go into the sanctuary. And most of the time they spend a lot of money on carpet and things like that, so they don't allow anything in there but water. Even baby bottles. They don't want you to feed the baby a bottle. It might spill or something and ruin that plush carpet in our sanctuary. You see how one thing leads to another. You start thinking of that building as some holy temple, the house of God. And then the next thing you know, you're treating it like it's the temple, and then you've got an altar. And there's no such thing in the New Testament church. It's completely unbiblical. It causes confusion in the mind of the new believer, as well as the untaught saints. There's plenty of Christians who've attended church for decades and they still don't learn anything because their church is not an expository Bible-teaching church, or they don't have sound doctrine. So you got this thing where Bible believers complain about Catholics and others and all their, they live carnal all week long and think they can go to Mass and go to confession and that's okay. And rightfully so, that's criticized. But some of the people who are doing the criticism, they themselves really have this same idea about the church building and about going to the altar to get right the things you did during the week. You know, if you sinned on Monday, the Holy Spirit convicts you on Monday. You should repent and get things right on Monday. It should really be seldom that you wait until you go to a building and go forward at an altar to get things right with God, because there's no such thing as an altar in a Christian church to begin with. And that's why, because we are the temple of God. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We should deal with things one-on-one with God. So that's the whole problem with the altar call. It's behind a lot of the charismatic confusion you see going on today. The old saying that I repeat over and over, heresy begets heresy. Well, bad practice usually results in worse things. Altar calls have produced a lot of bad stuff. The confusion and the damage I've seen over the years. One way is that people go forward out of pure emotions and not genuine repentance and faith. They get hyped up by the music and the preacher and you need to come forward now. Come on down. I see that hand. You step out. You come forward. I see you coming. You come down. How about you? Will you come? Will you come? You know, I could do that if I wanted to, and it's just something I wouldn't do, because you're not supposed to come forward in a church gathering and make a response just on emotions, and that's what happens too often in these altar calls. There's actually a lot of people I've talked to who went forward to Billy Graham altar call so they could have a chance to meet Billy. And that's happened even with churches who are less famous, but they're still, you know, the preacher, the guy with the book, the guy that people want to meet. So they go forward so they can meet the preacher. And then there's actually some people, and I've seen this as well, who go forward because it's visually, everybody thinks, oh, praise the Lord, he's getting saved, he's getting things right. No, he's going forward to fool you. And I've seen people do that. They go forward and they go through the whole thing of getting baptized even. Well, if you don't have an altar call, then how do you know somebody's saved? The way the Bible teaches it is people get saved and you can tell by, number one, they begin telling others, and number two, they begin trying to live it. Now, this invitation thing can be done in a way that I think is fine biblically. It's not really, it's not ever taught outright biblically, but it's not condemned either. So we have to weigh what's going on. If you're making it clear that coming forward doesn't save you, and coming forward isn't required for salvation, that's the problem with a lot of the altar calls. People, again, have this total wrong idea. And a lot of Baptists treat the altar call the way the Catholics do a sacrament. It's like if you didn't go forward in church, you're not saved. I remember years ago when I first started the ministry, if I led somebody to the Lord, I was encouraged to have them come to church and wait until the end of the sermon and during the invitation to have them come forward and make that profession of faith again in the church service. And it was just because they liked the numbers of people going forward, and then also they said, well, you know, may encourage others to come out and go forward. You know, it's just, it's not biblical. It's just, it can be really bad the way it's really being done most of the time from what I can see. If you're saying to somebody, you know, you may want to talk to us and we could pray with you, we could counsel you, that's fine. I had no problem with people saying, if you'd like to come forward and see, we can have prayer. But then in some of the more wild, emotional, charismatic churches, they get you down there and beat on your back and scream in your ear and everything, and they send the person on, and the poor person doesn't even have any idea what just happened. They may have been sincere and come forward wanting to know more about Jesus and the gospel and the real questions that a seeking sinner would ask, and then all they get is this big emotional thing. And that's the bottom line. If you have an invitation and it's not an emotional thing, but it's a gospel appeal or appeal for someone to come forward to have prayer and counsel, I don't have a problem with that. See what I'm saying? I'm in the middle, sort of, because I don't like calling them altar calls at all. But giving what we call an invitation at the end, if it's done right, biblically, I can't see any reason to condemn that. And that's what our rule is. Our rule for faith and practice is the Bible, not Greg's opinion, not your opinion. And that's why when I look at this, the Bible says nothing about altars, and a lot of this stuff going on with altar calls is just ridiculously dumb, and Satan uses it. So we shouldn't do that. But then if someone has an invitation, they have a type of situation where you can call people to come forward and all that, if it's done in a way that doesn't violate Scripture, then I believe that's fine. But listen, I want to close with this fact. The biblical motto is simply to repent and believe the gospel. That's it. You look, Jesus never had, show me those hands, come forward, come to the altar. Paul never did that. They just simply preached the gospel, preached about Jesus, preached how that you can't be saved by your works, you must repent and believe the gospel, and that was it. If people believed, they were saved. If they didn't, they weren't. That's all there was to it. No, it didn't facilitate keeping statistics and send them to the convention. Why? Because there was no such thing. And that's what's behind a lot of this altar call business, is for people to be able to add up and tally numbers and boast. Advertise. It's carnal. Really is what's behind a lot of this stuff. Local churches even do it. They have the little thing up on the wall, and they'll count how many people came forward, how many people have been baptized. They like the numbers. Of course, it's depressing if no one's saved for a while or baptized for a while. But the bottom line is, we shouldn't be about those numbers anyway. We should be about being faithful to do what God's told us to do, the way God's told us to do it, and then let Him deal with the numbers. In the Bible, numbers are only given by the Holy Spirit, never by the apostles. They never counted up people and said, oh, well, I was in, you know, he didn't write a letter to Corinth and say, I was in Laodicea the other day and we had 15 come to the altar. You won't find that in the Bible. Paul's ministry is described in Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's after the transition. That's how the book of Acts ends. That's what Paul's ministry is all about. Then, in his letters to Christians, he's not calling on them to repent and believe the gospel. They're already saved. He wrote letters to the churches, and he encouraged them to turn around and preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, he explains the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So that's all you have to do. If you want to be an evangelist, which we're all supposed to be, there is the office of evangelist, you know, that is a little different, but we're all to be preachers of the gospel. And if you want to be an evangelist, following the Bible, preaching the gospel as you're called to do, that's how simple it is. You tell people how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and then you call on them to repent and believe the gospel. And leave the altar calls to the Catholics.